देवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय नारायणं नमस्कृत्य नरं चैव नरोत्तमं देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं ततो जयमुदीरयेत् नष्टप्रायेष्वभद्रेषु नित्यं भागवतसेवया भगवतीर्वुत्तमश्लोके भक्तिर्भवती नैष्टिकी कृष्णाय वासुदेवाय देवकी नन्दनाय च नन्दगोपकुमाराय गोविन्दाय नमो नमः.
रीडिंग फ्रॉम श्रीमद् भागवतम कैंटो 11 चैप्टर 18 एंटाइटल्ड डिस्क्रिप्शन ऑफ द वर्णाश्रम धर्म टेक्स्ट नंबर 25.
वानप्रस्थाश्रमपदेश अभीक्ष्णं वैक्ष्यमाचरेत् संसिद्यत्याश्वसम्मोह शुद्धसत्त्वशिलान्दसा वानप्रस्थाश्रमपदेश वभीक्ष्णं वैक्ष्यमाचरेत् संसिद्यत्याश्वसम्मोह शुद्धसत्त्वशिलान्दसा वानप्रस्थाश्रमपदेश वभीक्ष्णं वैक्ष्यमाचरेत् संसिद्यत्याश्वसम्मोह शुद्धसत्त्वशिलान्दसा. वानप्रस्थाश्रमपदेश अभीक्ष्णं वैक्ष्यमाचरेत् संसिद्यत्याश्वसम्मोह शुद्धसत्त्वशिलान्दसा वानप्रस्थाश्रमपदेश अभीक्ष्णं वैक्ष्यमाचरेत् संसिद्यत्याश्वसम्मोह शुद्धसत्त्वशिलान्दसा वानप्रस्थाश्रमपदेश वभीक्ष्णं वैक्ष्यमाचरेत् संसिद्यत्याश्वसम्मोह शुद्धसत्त्वशिलान्दसा. माताजी वानप्रस्थाश्रमपदेश word to word translation. Vanaprastha ashrama of the Vanaprastha order of life, padeshu in the position, abhikshnam always, baikshyam begging, acharet one should perform, samsidyati one becomes spiritually perfect. Ashu, quickly. Asammoha, free from illusion. శుద్ధ ప్యూరిఫైడ్ సత్వ ఎగ్జిస్టెన్స్ శిల ఒబ్టైన్డ్ బై బెగింగ్ ఆర్ గ్లీనింగ్ అందస బై ఫుడ్ Translation and purport by the disciples of His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Translation. One in the Vanaprastha order of life should always practice taking charity from others, for one is thereby freed from illusion and quickly becomes perfect in spiritual life. Indeed, one who subsists on food grains obtained in such a humble manner purifies his existence. Purport. In the Western countries, people are generally so dull that they cannot distinguish between a saintly beggar and an ordinary hobo or hippie. A saintly beggar is constantly engaged in authorized devotional service to the Supreme Lord and accepts only what he requires for his bare maintenance. The author of this book remembers entering the Krishna Consciousness Society as an arrogant university student and being quickly humbled by the process of begging on the street on behalf of Krishna. This process is not theoretical, but actually purifies one's existence by forcing one to offer respect to all others. Unless one offers respect to others, one's begging will be fruitless. Also, by begging, one will not often eat very sumptuously. This is good, because when the tongue is controlled, the other senses are quickly pacified. A vanaprastha should never give up the purifying process of begging for his food. And ordinary people should not foolishly equate a lazy bum living at the cost of others with a saintly beggar engaged in higher duties for the Supreme Lord.
Om Ajnanati Mirandasya జ్ఞానాంజనశలాకయా చక్షురోన్మిలితం యేన తస్మై శ్రీగురవే నమః శ్రీచైతన్యమనోభీష్టం స్థాపితం యేన భూతలే స్వయం రూప కదామయ్యం తదాతి స్వపదాంతికం వందేహం శ్రీగురు శ్రీయుతపదకమలం శ్రీగరూన్ వైష్ణవాంశ్చ శ్రీరూపం సాగ్రజాతాం సహగణారఘునాథాన్వితం తాం సజీవం సాద్వైతం సావదూతం పరిజనసహితం కృష్ణచైతన్యదేవం శ్రీరాధా కృష్ణపదాన్ సహగణాలలిత శ్రీ విశాఖాన్వితాంశ్చ హే కృష్ణ కరుణా సింధు దీనబంధో జగత్పతే గోపేశ గోపికాకాంత రాధాకాంత నమోస్తుతే తప్త కాంచన గౌరాంగీ రాధే వృందావనేశ్వరీ వృషభానుసుతే దేవి ప్రణమామి హరిప్రియే వాంఛాకల్పతరుభ్యశ్చ కృపాసింధుభ్యయేవ చ పతితానాం పావనేభ్యో వైష్ణవేభ్యో నమో నమః జయ శ్రీ కృష్ణ చైతన్య ప్రభు నిత్యానంద శ్రీ అద్వైత గదాధార్ శ్రీవాసాది గౌర భక్తవృంద హరే కృష్ణ 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 హరే 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 రామ
ರಾಮ ರಾಮ ಹರೇ ಹರೇ.
ಸೊ ಯು ಆರ್ ರೀಡಿಂಗ್ ಫ್ರಮ್ ದ 11th ಕ್ಯಾಂಟ್ ಟು 18th ಚಾಪ್ಟರ್. ಇನ್ ದೀಸ್ ಟೂ ಚಾಪ್ಟರ್ಸ್, ಚಾಪ್ಟರ್ 17 ಅಂಡ್ ಚಾಪ್ಟರ್ 18, ಲಾರ್ಡ್ ಕೃಷ್ಣ ಇಸ್ ಡಿಸ್ಕ್ರೈಬಿಂಗ್ ದ ವರ್ಣಾಶ್ರಮ ಧರ್ಮ. ದ ಪ್ರೀವಿಯಸ್ ಚಾಪ್ಟರ್, 17th ಚಾಪ್ಟರ್, ಕೃಷ್ಣ ಡಿಸ್ಕ್ರೈಬ್ಡ್ ದ ಡ್ಯೂಟೀಸ್ ಅಂಡ್ ದ ಕ್ವಾಲಿಟೀಸ್ ಆಫ್ ದ ಡಿಫರೆಂಟ್ ವರ್ಣಸ್, ಬ್ರಾಹ್ಮಣ, ಕ್ಷತ್ರಿಯ, ವೈಶ್ಯ, ಶೂದ್ರ. ಅಂಡ್ ಕೃಷ್ಣ ಆಲ್ಸೋ ಡಿಸ್ಕ್ರೈಬ್ಡ್ ದ ಡ್ಯೂಟೀಸ್ ಆಫ್ ದ ಟೈಮ್ ಆಫ್ ಎಮರ್ಜೆನ್ಸಿ, ಕಾಲ್ಡ್ ಅಸ್ ಆಪದ್ ಧರ್ಮ. ಅಂಡ್ ಕೃಷ್ಣ ಡಿಸ್ಕ್ರೈಬ್ಡ್ ದ ಡ್ಯೂಟೀಸ್ ಆಫ್ ಅ ಬ್ರಹ್ಮಚಾರಿ ಅಂಡ್ ಅ ಗೃಹಸ್ಥ. ಅಂಡ್ ಇನ್ ದಿಸ್ ಪರ್ಟಿಕ್ಯುಲರ್ ಚಾಪ್ಟರ್ ದಿಸ್ ಎಲಾಬರೇಟ್ ಡಿಸ್ಕ್ರಿಪ್ಷನ್ ಅಬೌಟ್ ದ ವಾನಪ್ರಸ್ಥ ಅಂಡ್ ಸನ್ಯಾಸಾಶ್ರಮ. ಆಕ್ಚುಲಿ ದಿಸ್ ವರ್ಣಾಶ್ರಮ್ ಸೆಕ್ಷನ್ ಇನ್ ಜನರಲ್ ದ ಹೋಲ್ ಭಾಗವತಂ, ಬಟ್ ವರ್ಣಾಶ್ರಮ್ ಸೆಕ್ಷನ್ ಇಟ್ ಇಸ್ ಡಿಫಿಕಲ್ಟ್ ಟು ಸ್ಪೀಕ್ ಅಬೌಟ್ ಬಿಕಾಸ್ ವಿ ಆರ್ ಲಿವಿಂಗ್ ಅಟ್ ಅ ಟೈಮ್ ವೇರ್ ಮೆನಿ ಟೈಮ್ಸ್ ದ ಲೈಫ್ ಸ್ಟೈಲ್ ಹಸ್ ಗಾನ್ ಸೋ ವೆರಿ ಮಚ್ ಅವೇ ಫ್ರಮ್ ವಾಟ್ ಇಸ್ ಡಿಸ್ಕ್ರೈಬ್ಡ್ ಇನ್ ದ ವಾಟ್ ವಿ ಸೀ ಇನ್ ದ ಸ್ಕ್ರಿಪ್ಚರ್ಸ್. ಬಟ್ ಸೊ ಜನರಲಿ ಸಮಟೈಮ್ಸ್ ಬಿಕಾಸ್ ಲೈಕ್ ವೆದರ್ ಯು ಟೇಕ್ ಎನಿ ಆಶ್ರಮ್ ಆರ್ ಎನಿ ವರ್ಣ, ಅದರ್ ಬ್ರಹ್ಮಚಾರಿ ಆರ್ ಗೃಹಸ್ಥ ಆರ್ ವಾನಪ್ರಸ್ಥ ಸನ್ಯಾಸಾಶ್ರಮ್, ದ ವೇ ಇಟ್ ಇಸ್ ಡಿಸ್ಕ್ರೈಬ್ಡ್ ಇನ್ ದೀಸ್ ವರ್ಸಸ್ ಅಂಡ್ ದ ರಿಯಾಲಿಟಿ ಆಫ್ ದ ವೇ ವಿ ಪ್ರಾಕ್ಟಿಸ್ ದಟ್ ಮೇ ಬಿ ವೆರಿ ಮಚ್ ಡಿಫರೆಂಟ್ ಫ್ರಮ್ ವಾಟ್ ಇಸ್ ದೇರ್ ಇನ್ ದ ಸ್ಕ್ರಿಪ್ಚರ್ಸ್. ಬಟ್ ಸ್ಟಿಲ್ ದ ಪ್ರಿನ್ಸಿಪಲ್ಸ್ ಆರ್ ಸಮಥಿಂಗ್ ವಿಚ್ ಆರ್ ಯೂನಿವರ್ಸಲ್. ದೋಸ್ ಪ್ರಿನ್ಸಿಪಲ್ಸ್ ವಿಲ್ ಹ್ಯಾವ್ ಟು ಬಿ ಅಪ್ಲೈಡ್ ಅಕಾರ್ಡಿಂಗ್ ಟು ದ ಪರ್ಟಿಕ್ಯುಲರ್ ಟೈಮ್ ಅಂಡ್ ದ ಸರ್ಕಮ್ಸ್ಟಾನ್ಸಸ್. ಸೊ ಐ ವಿಲ್ ಟ್ರೈ ಟು ಗೋ ಥ್ರೂ ವಾಟ್ ಎವರ್ ಅಕಾರ್ಡಿಂಗ್ ಟು ಮೈ ಬೆಸ್ಟ್ ಕೆಪಾಸಿಟಿ. ಸೊ ಅಂಡ್ ಅನದರ್ ಥಿಂಗ್, ಸಮಟೈಮ್ ವಿ ಹ್ಯಾವ್ ಟು ಕೀಪ್ ಇನ್ ಮೈಂಡ್ ದಟ್ ದಿಸ್ ವರ್ಣಾಶ್ರಮ್ ಸಿಸ್ಟಮ್ ಇಸ್ ಅ ಸಿಸ್ಟಮ್ ಎಸ್ಟಾಬ್ಲಿಷ್ಡ್ ಬೈ ಕೃಷ್ಣ. ಚಾತುರ್ವರ್ಣ್ಯಂ ಮಯಾ ಸೃಷ್ಟಂ. ಸೊ ದೇರ್ ಆರ್ ಸರ್ಟನ್ ಥಿಂಗ್ಸ್ ವಿಚ್ ಆರ್ ಎಟರ್ನಲ್ ಅಂಡ್ ಸರ್ಟನ್ ಥಿಂಗ್ಸ್ ವಿಚ್ ವಿಲ್ ಆಕ್ಚುಲಿ ಚೇಂಜ್ ಓವರ್ ಅ ಪೀರಿಯಡ್ ಆಫ್ ಟೈಮ್. ಲೈಕ್ ಫಾರ್ ಎಕ್ಸಾಂಪಲ್, ದ ಪೊಸಿಷನ್ ಆಫ್ ದ ಲಿವಿಂಗ್ ಎಂಟಿಟಿ, ದ ಜೀವ ದ ಎಟರ್ನಲ್ ಸರ್ವೆಂಟ್ ಆಫ್ ಕೃಷ್ಣ, ದ ಪೊಸಿಷನ್ ಆಫ್ ದ ಸುಪ್ರೀಂ ಪರ್ಸನಾಲಿಟಿ ಆಫ್ ಗಾಡ್ ಅಟ್ ಭಗವಾನ್, ಅಂಡ್ ದ ಪ್ರಾಸೆಸ್ ಆಫ್ ಎಸ್ಟಾಬ್ಲಿಷಿಂಗ್ ದ ರಿಲೇಷನ್ಶಿಪ್ ಆಫ್ ದ ಲಿವಿಂಗ್ ಎಂಟಿಟಿ ವಿತ್ ದ ಸುಪ್ರೀಂ ಲಾರ್ಡ್, ವಿಚ್ ಇಸ್ ದ ಪ್ರಾಸೆಸ್ ಆಫ್ ಭಕ್ತಿ, ವಿಚ್ ಕಂಪ್ರೈಸಸ್ ಆಫ್ ದ 64 ಅಂಗಸ್ ಆಫ್ ಭಕ್ತಿ, ಅಂಡ್ ದ ವರ್ಣಾಶ್ರಮ್ ಸಿಸ್ಟಮ್ ವಿಚ್ ಇಸ್ ಕ್ರಿಯೇಟೆಡ್ ಬೈ ಕೃಷ್ಣ, ದ ಆರ್ಟ್ ಆಫ್ ಲಿವಿಂಗ್ ಇನ್ ದಿಸ್ ವರ್ಲ್ಡ್. ಸೊ ದೀಸ್ ಆರ್ ಆಲ್ ಎಟರ್ನಲ್. ಸೊ ಒನ್ ಶುಡ್ ಆಲ್ವೇಸ್ ಟೇಕ್ ಶೆಲ್ಟರ್, ಒನ್ ಶುಡ್ ನೋ ವಾಟ್ ಆರ್ ದ ಎಟರ್ನಲ್ ಥಿಂಗ್ಸ್, ಒನ್ ಶುಡ್ ಟ್ರೈ ಟು ಟೇಕ್ ಶೆಲ್ಟರ್ ಆಫ್ ದೋಸ್ ಎಟರ್ನಲ್ ಥಿಂಗ್ಸ್. ಅಂಡ್ ದೋಸ್ ಎಟರ್ನಲ್ ಥಿಂಗ್ಸ್, ಎಟರ್ನಲ್ ಪ್ರಿನ್ಸಿಪಲ್ಸ್ ವಿಲ್ ಹ್ಯಾವ್ ಟು ಬಿ ಅಪ್ಲೈಡ್ ಅಕಾರ್ಡಿಂಗ್ ಟು ದ ಪರ್ಟಿಕ್ಯುಲರ್ ಟೈಮ್. ಸೊ ಇನ್ ದ ಇನ್ ದಿಸ್ ಪರ್ಟಿಕ್ಯುಲರ್ ಚಾಪ್ಟರ್ ಎಸ್ಪೆಷಲಿ ಕೃಷ್ಣ ಇಸ್ ಡಿಸ್ಕ್ರೈಬಿಂಗ್ ದ ರಿಟೈರ್ಡ್ ಲೈಫ್ ಅಂಡ್ ದ ಸನ್ಯಾಸ ಆರ್ಡರ್, ದ ರೆನೌನ್ಸ್ಡ್ ಆರ್ಡರ್. ಸೊ ಇನ್ ದಿಸ್ ಪರ್ಟಿಕ್ಯುಲರ್ ವರ್ಸ್, ಇನ್ ಪರ್ಟಿಕ್ಯುಲರ್ ಕೃಷ್ಣ ಎಂಫಸೈಸಸ್ ದಟ್ ಹೌ ದ ಇನ್ ದ ವಾನಪ್ರಸ್ಥ ಆಶ್ರಮ್ ಎ ಪರ್ಸನ್ ಶುಡ್, ಆರ್ ಇನ್ ದ ವಾನಪ್ರಸ್ಥ ಸನ್ಯಾಸ ಆಶ್ರಮ್ ಒನ್ ಶುಡ್ ಪ್ರಾಕ್ಟಿಸ್ ಟೇಕಿಂಗ್ ಚಾರಿಟಿ ಫ್ರಮ್ ಅದರ್ಸ್. ಸೊ ದ ರೀಸನ್ ಇಟ್ ಇಸ್ ಮೆನ್ಷನ್ಡ್ ವೈ ಒನ್ ಶುಡ್ ಬೇಗ್ ಫ್ರಮ್ ಅದರ್ಸ್ ಇಸ್ ದಟ್ ಬಿಕಾಸ್ ಬೈ ಬೇಗಿಂಗ್ ಒನ್ ಕ್ಯಾನ್ ಆಕ್ಚುಲಿ ಎಕ್ಸ್ಪೀರಿಯನ್ಸ್ ಹೌ ಕೃಷ್ಣ ಇಸ್ ದ ಮೇಂಟೈನರ್. ಅಂಡ್ ಇಟ್ ಆಕ್ಚುಲಿ ಪ್ಯೂರಿಫೈಸ್ ಒನ್ಸ್ ಎಕ್ಸಿಸ್ಟೆನ್ಸ್. ಅಂಡ್ ನಾಟ್ ಓನ್ಲಿ ದಟ್, ಅಂಡ್ ವೆನ್ ಅ ಪರ್ಸನ್ ಇಸ್ ಬೇಗಿಂಗ್, ಒನ್ ಇಸ್ ಆಕ್ಚುಲಿ ಫೋರ್ಸ್ ಟು ಆಫರ್ ರೆಸ್ಪೆಕ್ಟ್ ಟು ಅದರ್ಸ್. ಯು ಕಾಂಟ್ ಡಿಸ್ರೆಸ್ಪೆಕ್ಟ್ ಅ ಪರ್ಸನ್ ಅಂಡ್ ಡಿಮ್ಯಾಂಡ್ ಅ ಪರ್ಸನ್ ಟು ಆಸ್ಕ್ ಫಾರ್ ಸಮ್ ಫುಡ್ ಆರ್ ಸಮಥಿಂಗ್. ಒನ್ ಇಸ್ ಫೋರ್ಸ್ ಟು ರೆಸ್ಪೆಕ್ಟ್ ಅದರ್ಸ್. ಅಂಡ್ ವೆನ್ ಅ ಪರ್ಸನ್ ಇಸ್ ಬೇಗಿಂಗ್ ಫುಡ್, one cannot expect some sumptuous food. One will not get some food according to one's choice. So he will have to be satisfied with whatever he gets. So therefore his tongue will be naturally controlled.
And when the tongue is controlled, all the other senses can easily be controlled. So therefore, this principle of begging is recommended, especially in the Vanaprastha order. So I'll discuss some examples from the Srimad Bhagavatam around the theme of detachment, how this principle is actually applied through the various personalities. So first, I'll take the example of Prithu Maharaj from the fourth canto. So there is a chapter called Prithu Maharaj going back home, back to God. So in the chapter it is described that Prithu Maharaj, when he saw his old age, the Prithu Maharaj, who is the protector of the people, maintainer of all the living entities, who was in control of his mind, he decided to retire from his family life. And Prithu Maharaj had actually appeared for the purpose of establishing the dharma. For the purpose, when there was no proper king, he appeared. He was the incarnation of the ruling potency of the Lord. And he decided to actually hand over the earth among his different sons, and he decided to actually retire. So in the case of Prithu Maharaj, Prithu Maharaj was thinking that let me make the Vanaprastha ashram famous among the people by desiring to retire. So one may wonder, like suppose if an ordinary person who is working as a clerk or as a peon or something, you know, if he decides to retire, then by that he cannot make that Vanaprastha ashram or the principle of retirement famous. But here in the case of Prithu Maharaj, when he decided to retire, by that he made the Vanaprastha ashram famous, because the reason was that Prithu Maharaj was the emperor of the whole earth. When a person who is in that particular position, sometimes the principle of retirement, it may... when a person hears that, sometimes it may be fearful for a person. I should retire. That means like I have to take a background role, and then my influence will go, my control over my area will go. So that is little frightening for a conditioned soul. But here we see, here is an example where Prithu Maharaj was the emperor of the whole planet Earth. In fact, there are certain verses which describe about the extent of the influence he had over the planet. It said that asya pratihatam chakram prutor atmanas chalat vartate bhagavan arko yavat tapati goganai. Just like the sun god expands his shining rays up to the Arctic region without impedance, the influence of King Prithu will cover all the tracts of land up to the Arctic region and will remain undisturbed as long as he lives. So here is a person who had influence over the entire area wherever the sun rays actually fell, like in all the tracts of land, he had his influence. And in fact, it is described that Prithu Maharaj, like sometimes if a person has to, especially in the current times, people, in order to spread their influence, they invest a lot of time and energy to advertise themselves. Advertising industry is a big industry sometimes. When a company, their product may be very, may not be up to the standard, but because of the propaganda of advertisement, the product can become famous. Similarly, people try to advertise themselves. So in the case of Prithu Maharaj, he didn't put an effort to advertise himself in order to become famous. He didn't have to artificially advertise himself.
Just like Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur would say, do not try to see Krishna, but try to serve Krishna in such a way that Krishna wants to see you. So similarly, do not try to advertise yourself, but you make such a contribution that the quality of your contribution that advertises itself for yourself. So that was the glory of Prithu Maharaj, that he didn't have to advertise himself artificially, because the quality of his service as a king, that was so much based on dharma, that was so genuine, so that his service itself advertised himself, that his influence spread for the entire planet. In fact, in another verse it was described that sarvastra sarvastra akila desha sapta dvipaika dandadrik anyatra brahmana kulat anyatra achyuta gotratah. That means Prithu Maharaj was an unrivaled king and possessed the scepter for ruling all the seven islands, the entire Saptadvipa can be taken as Jambudvipa, Kushadvipa, Shalmali Dvipa, the seven dvipas described in the fifth canto, in the entire Bhumandala. He had influence of the entire Bhumandala. Or Prabhupada writes as the different, the seven oceans in the earth planet. So he had his influence over the entire seven dvipas, and no one could disobey his irrevocable orders, except the saintly persons and the brahmanas. He had his control over everyone except the brahmanas. He didn't try to control the people in the renounced order or the brahmanas. So here we find that here is an example who had influence over an entire Bhumandala, but when the right time came, he decided to retire on his own voluntarily. When we compare the example of Indra and Prithu Maharaj, in the case of Indra, when Prithu Maharaj was performing the 100 Ashwamedha Yajna, when he was performing the 100 Ashwamedha Yajna, that Indra felt so insecure that he felt that Prithu Maharaj is going to occupy my position. He felt that, he is going to dethrone me from my position. Actually, Prithu Maharaj had no intention of dethroning Indra from his position. So generally, when somebody is appointed as a devata like Indra or as Brahma, one is supposed to be there for the entire period. Like Indra would be there for entire Manvantara. Even when sometimes when Indra is cursed, when he becomes certain position, but after the curse is over, he is again reinstated in the same position, and he will continue till the entire Manvantara. But it was Indra's imagination, it was his perception, that he felt that, he is going to dethrone me. So that is why Prabhupada says that this is called as Atmavan Manyate Jagat. Because he was attached to his position, he thought that Prithu is going to actually dethrone me, so therefore he decided to steal the horse which is meant to be sacrificed, and that too by disguising as a sadhu. So, but on the other hand, in the case of Prithu Maharaj, there was no external pressure that some people were campaigning him that he should be removed from the king, from the position of a king or something like that. In fact, all the citizens were actually crying and lamenting when he actually decided to retire. But still, he wanted to follow the principle at the right time. One should actually take a background role. One should take the background role and one should concentrate more on self-realization. And then he took that retirement on his own voluntarily. So by that, he made the Vanaprastha ashram famous.
So that is why we find that this is a glorious example of Prithu Maharaj, Prithu Maharaj's retirement. And like for example, in the 10th canto, when Shukadeva Goswami gives a description of the rainy season and the autumn season, he gives an example. During the rainy season, a crane stands on the edge of a pond that is always disturbed by the flowing water. Sometimes it's raining constantly and then the edge of the pond is actually disturbed by the flowing water, the dikes may be breaking. But still, the crane actually does not move from the edge of the pond. So he says, so Shukadeva Goswami is observing that and then he is trying to see that apparently ordinary event, but he is trying to see through the Shastra, he is trying to perceive that same event by seeing the psychology of a conditioned soul. So he says that sometimes a householder, he may be disturbed in the shelter of his home, but because of too much attachment does not want to change his position. So he is like a crane who is disturbed by the flowing water, but the crane continues to live there. And another example he gives, like during the rainy season, different ponds actually get filled with a lot of water. And many fish are actually living in those actually ponds. But when the rainy season gets over, when the autumn season comes, because of the scorching heat of the sun, the water starts getting dried up, water starts getting evaporated. But then the fishes who are living in that pond, they are completely oblivious to the fact that the pond is getting dried up. And they may die very soon. So similarly, sometimes a foolish family man cannot see how the time is passing by, and completely oblivious to the fact that time is passing by, he's actually he just absorbed in his different duties of this world and neglecting the duties of the soul are progressing in self-realization. So Srila Prabhupada Prabhupada writes, like when we read different purports in the Srimad Bhagavatam, some of the purports are really strong, but like Prabhupada is writing from his own, actually from his realization, but like we don't have the same realization to repeat that. But just as a matter of purification, I'll try to go through some of these purports. How he actually highlights about that principle of retirement, and we will also try to go through how this principle of retirement is applied in different cases. Like he says, for example, in the government offices, may not be now or maybe previously, like one of the this thing of a government office is that people will come dot at a particular time and then they will leave at a particular time. So he says that just like in a government office, people leave at the particular time irrespective of whatever may be the pending work. So similarly, at the particular age, Prabhupada writes that like at the particular age, one should actually retire irrespective of whatever may be the pending responsibilities. So this retirement must be compulsory so that the foolish old man will no longer disturb the peaceful progress of spiritual culture. So if we see the one of the broader principle is that whenever a person does not practice the dharma, swadharma, dharma for his particular, whichever position he is in, like he will he will create trouble for himself and he will also create trouble for the people around him. So in this case, like when a person has come to a particular age and when he does not practice the dharma of retirement, so one will actually create the, one will disturb the peaceful progress of spiritual culture. So in the modern democratic government, nobody should be elected after the age of 50. Like, so I'm not going to emphasize on the particular number, but this is there, and the, like, that is one of the principle we have to remember. This is also important principle. Like, for example, the purports of Prabhupada, there's a difference between Shruti and the Smriti. Smriti means the principles written in the Shastra, which are described in the Shastra, they are actually explained by a particular sadhu, by a particular guru. In his own understanding, he explains that. And whenever he writes up that particular principle, there is a the particular time, place and circumstances are also involved. So one of the mistakes which people do is that when they make the smriti as the shruti, and that will create violence. Like smriti is very much focus, dependent on the time, place and circumstance. And like all the purports of the acharyas, they are all actually smriti. Sometimes certain words might have been used, that words, those words might, it may have a different meaning at a particular time, the words may change in another time. So the smriti, so those, when we make the smriti as the shruti, and that creates violence. So here, I'm not going to emphasize on the word 50, the number 50, but he's telling that, because as I mentioned that, many times the lifestyle changes so drastically as time progresses, there may be so many different factors. But we can at least understand the importance of the retirement and focusing on the ultimate goal of life, which Prabhupada is trying to emphasize, how it is important at a particular time. So he says, otherwise, the storm of the ocean of nescience cannot be stopped to allow the ships and boats to sail back home, back to Godhead. The greatest enemies of the progressive spiritual culture in human society are the old fossils of political parties who are blind themselves and who try to lead other blind men. And they bring about disaster in a peaceful human society. And the members of the younger generation are not as stupid as the old politicians, and therefore, by state law, the foolish old politicians must retire from active life at the age of 50. So, of course, although he is mentioning about the politicians, in general for different roles also, at a particular time, one is supposed to take a background role and empower the other people in the to come in the forefront. And because the nature of the world is that at a particular time, the only way by which we can become relevant to the people is by becoming irrelevant. It means like the only way by which we can be relevant to the people is that when we take a background role. But when we don't accept that, when we try to be in the forefront all the time, then one will have to go through a bitter experience of being forced to actually step down from a particular position. So there is another purport where Prabhupada explains about the principle of retirement. He says that when should a person retire? One should retire as soon as the time is ripe or as soon as one has developed a perfect Krishna consciousness, even though all his duties may not be fulfilled, either the time is ripe or a person has developed a perfect Krishna consciousness. And generally, when we talk about the principle of detachment or renunciation, there are three categories of renunciation which are unstable. So one is called as the smashana vairagya. Like a person exhibits certain detachment during the, in the smashana bhumi. But that doesn't last for long. And once he comes back, he forgets everything. Or prasava vairagya, that means when a person is going through some intense trouble in his life, either a male or a female, but at that time a person exhibits certain detachment from sense gratification. But once the trouble is over, and one forgets that, and then one again indulges in sense gratification. Another is called as the abhava vairagya. That means renunciation because there is no opportunity for sense indulgence. As we say, morality is lack of opportunity. So in the absence of something, a person exhibits detachment. But once he gets the facility for that, the detachment disappears. So all these three types of detachment, it is unstable because it is not based on the foundation of knowledge. It is very much based on very circumstantial. When the circumstances change, the detachment also actually disappears. So that is why for the sustainable and stable detachment, one has to actually cultivate knowledge. And we find Prabhupada emphasizes in some of the lectures and letters, he says that he tells in one letter, he mentions that I am requesting all my devotees to read my books like 2-3 hours a day. So that otherwise, then only they'll be able to actually remain stable in the platform of detachment. Otherwise, it'll be difficult for them to continue. I am very much stressing at this point that all of my students shall be very much conversant with the philosophy of Krishna consciousness. And they should try to read our books very diligently, at least 1 or 2 hours daily, and try to understand the subject matter from various angles. If the students get knowledge more and more, they will automatically become convinced and very easily perform their duties for tapasya or renunciation of the material bondage. So in that sense, the stable or sustainable detachment is based on the foundation of knowledge and also an experience of a higher taste. And having said that, now I'll consider some examples where the untimely detachment was discouraged. Because the Shastras, there are enough examples in which renunciation was emphasized, it was actually emphasized a lot. And there are also enough examples where when people were trying to retire, untimely, that was also being discouraged. Like for example, let us take the example of Arjuna himself in the Bhagavad Gita. So if we see, when we read the Bhagavad Gita, sometimes people actually, when they read the Gita, they get stuck in the context of the Gita. The context of the Gita is that Arjuna did not want to fight the war. He wanted to actually renounce and he wanted to go to the forest. Prabhupada writes the context of the Gita in the 3.1 purport that Arjuna used Krishna consciousness as an excuse to avoid Kshatriya Dharma. So some people, when they read the context of the Gita, they get stuck at the context of the Gita only. when Prabhupada was explaining this context of the Gita to some of the beginners in the 1965-66, so those people, they thought that Prabhupada is actually convincing us to participate in the Vietnam War. Because Prabhupada was saying how Arjuna actually did not want to fight the war and Krishna started speaking the Gita. So some of the hippies, they felt that, Prabhupada is actually forcing us to go for the Vietnam War. And they were, they didn't have any fighting inclination, and they didn't want to go for the war. And they were frightened by hearing the context. And therefore, they couldn't open up for the actual message of the Gita. One devotee was sharing, he met one jihadi. And that jihadi told him that I read the Gita. After reading the Gita, I became so excited. I am convinced about that I should do jihad. So, that means he was mainly inspired by the context of the Gita. Somebody was not willing to fight, and Gita was spoken to actually fight and kill the people, and he was convinced. So, some people, they get stuck at the context of the Gita, and then they come up with a wrong conclusion. A few years back in Russia, they said that Bhagavad Gita is an extremist book, because Bhagavad Gita was spoken to a person and it inspired him to actually fight, and he killed lakhs and crores of people. So it's an extremist book. And some people, there may be others who may understand all the details of the Gita. What is Karma Yoga, Jnana Yoga, Bhakti Yoga, all the technical details of the yoga ladder. The different types of bhaktas, like nirapeksha bhakta, sanishta bhakta, parinishtata bhakta, the different technical terms are used by the acharyas. One may understand all the different technical details of the Gita. One may understand, manmanabhava madbhaktu, the ultimate message of the Gita. But even after understanding all the message of the Gita, but one may miss the context of the Gita. The context of the Gita is that Krishna wanted Arjuna to fight the war. Arjuna used Krishna consciousness as an excuse for avoiding the Kshatriya Dharma, and Krishna spoke the entire Gita, and ultimately Arjuna, even after hearing the Sarvadharman Parityajya, Arjuna fought the war to establish the Dharma Rajya, which is the desire of Krishna. For example, this is there was one devotee who wrote a letter to Prabhupada. And this devotee wrote a letter that I have so many disturbances in my family life. I want to divorce my wife. I want to actually take sannyas. And Prabhupada has written such a profound letter. It's a very long letter he has written. But just few points I will just like to highlight. So Prabhupada writes in this letter that the right understanding of Bhagavad Gita is Arjuna's understanding. In other words, Arjuna came to the conclusion that he must perform his occupational duty not as a material obligation, not for the reasons of wife, family, friends, reputation, etc., but rather he must conduct the functions of his station of life as a devotional service performed for Krishna. That means devotional service is what is important, not my occupational duty. But it does not mean that because occupational duty is not the real consideration, that I should give it up and do something else. Thinking that devotional service may be carried on under whatever circumstances which I may whimsically decide. So Krishna recommended Arjuna not to disrupt the order of the society and go against his own nature just for convenience's sake. So just our occupational duty is not arbitrary. That means once we have taken up some field of action, if we are advanced in our understanding, then we shall not change it for another. So like that, Prabhupada writes a beautiful letter. He says, we can see from the example of Krishna himself, how Krishna as a householder performed different, all the Kshatri dharmas properly. So Krishna does not give example of himself avoiding his occupational duty. So if Krishna himself is exhibiting by his own conduct what is the perfection of existence, then we should heed such example if we are intelligent. So therefore, why I am mentioning this is that, so this devotee is writing a letter, so I want to take sannyas, I want to concentrate fully on surrendering to Krishna. So he may seemingly have understood the message of the Gita, but he has missed the context of the Gita. He has missed the context of the Gita, which Prabhupada is trying to emphasize here. So therefore, one should understand the context of the Gita, and one should also understand what Krishna is, the message of the Gita. So both should be kept in mind. So like another example of Yudhishthira Maharaj, like Arjuna did not want to fight before the battle, but after the battle was over, Yudhishthira Maharaj did not want to become the king. He didn't want to become the king. But we find, and that detachment on the part of Yudhishthira Maharaj was not appreciated by Krishna. And it was not appreciated by the other sages. And then Bhishma Dev spoke to Yudhishthira Maharaj. Just to compare, like for example, when Bhishma Dev was speaking to Yudhishthira Maharaj, so there is a discussion on Purushartha or Daiva. Purushartha is the effort which we are supposed to put. Daiva is the destiny. So when Bhishma Dev was instructing Yudhishthira Maharaj, Bhishma Dev told that out of the two, Purushartha is more important than Daiva. Your effort is more important than Daiva. But a similar discussion was taking place between Vidur and Dhritarashtra. That was also after the war. On the same subject matter of Purushartha and Daiva. But there, Vidur told, Daiva is more important than Purushartha. So one may wonder, like, which is more important, Purushartha or Daiva? Two different Mahajans are giving different answers. But actually, in the case of Yudhishthira Maharaj, he was supposed to become the king. He is expected to become the king. He is supposed to put the effort. So therefore, Vidur told, Bhishma Dev told that Purushartha is more important than Daiva. But in the case of Dhritarashtra, he was destined not to be the king. And his sons were destined not to be the kings. But Dhritarashtra, he didn't accept that destiny, but he was always putting effort to be the king, to continue as a king, or to make his sons as the king. So therefore, Vidur was emphasizing that Daiva is more important than Purushartha. So therefore, because accepting Daiva is a, guess the principle of detachment, but Purushartha is something you are supposed to diligently perform your responsibilities. So depending on the candidate, something is emphasized. Purushartha is emphasized, sometimes Daiva is emphasized. And another example, we find the founder of our Sampradaya, the Brahmaji. Brahmaji, in the Brahma Vimohan Leela, he offered such beautiful prayers to Krishna after recognizing his mistake. And then at the end he mentioned that, I just want to take birth as a stone or a plant in the outskirts of Vrindavan so that I can get the dust of the residents of Vrindavan. That is a desire he expressed. But then he was expecting for Krishna's approval, and Krishna didn't say anything. And Brahmaji understood that Krishna is indicating that I should go back to Satyalok. So actually, Brahmaji just wanted to just stay in Vrindavan, Like, he realized his mistake, but he just wanted to stay in Vrindavan and he didn't want to go back. But Krishna wanted that Brahmaji should go and complete his term of his service. First, Brahma had to complete his personal devotional service of universal creation, then he would come to Vrindavan and get the mercy of the inhabitants there. In other words, a devotee should always be attentive to executing his personal devotional service properly. This is more important than trying to live in the Lord's abode. Because sometimes there may be certain wave, even in a devotee community, or somehow just retire and go to Vrindavan and settle there and something. Yeah, the principle of retirement is there, but although the principle is good, but when it is applied in the wrong time, it will create havoc for oneself and it will create a trouble in the family also. Yeah, there is a principle of retirement. One may go to the holy place and retire. But when a person does it prematurely, and that is not appreciated by Krishna, and it was not appreciated by Krishna even for the founder of our sampradaya. The original guru of our sampradaya, for Brahmaji, he wanted to retire. He wanted to retire in Vrindavan. But Krishna said, nothing doing, you have to go back to Satyalok. So that is what we find. And another example we find that Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is speaking to Kurma Brahmana. So Kurma Brahmana also, he wanted to come with Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. That he said that I am having so many troubles here, and then I just want to come along with you. But Mahaprabhu actually discouraged him. And one more example I will take, and then I will take other examples of how the renunciation was emphasized. So this last example, in the case of how the untimely detachment was actually discouraged, was the example of Priyavrata Maharaj. So Priyavrata Maharaj was living in the ashram of Narada Muni for a very long time, and during that time, Swayambhu Manu's dynasty through Uttanupad, they were ruling the kingdom. Uttanupad, Dhruva Maharaj, Dhruva Maharaj's son, and then Anga Maharaj, Prithu Maharaj, Prachina Barishad, Prachetas. They were ruling. And then Prachetas' son was born, Daksha was born at the Prachetas, and then Daksha, when he was performing austerities, when he went to perform austerity, there was nobody to rule the kingdom. So that time Swayambhu Manu, he saw that Priyavrat Maharaj is actually having the qualities to, rule the kingdom. So therefore he's inspiring him. He comes to actually inspire him to actually take up the position of the king. So that time Brahmaji is telling, Nibodha Tatedam Ritam Bravimi Masuyutum Deva Marhas Aprameyam Vayam Bhavaste Tata Yesha Maharishir Vahama Sarve Vivasha Yasya Dishtam. So Brahmaji is saying that please actually deliberate on what I am going to speak. I'm only speaking the truth, and you should not hate the Supreme Lord who is beyond estimation. Because I myself, Lord Shiva, Manu and Narada, your guru, all of us, we helplessly follow the order of the Supreme Lord. I have come here to ask you to actually become the king, to take up the responsibility of the king, and I have come on behalf of the Supreme Lord. It is the Supreme Lord's desire that you should become the king. And whatever the Lord instructs us in our heart, we actually follow that. So by His order, I am engaging you in ruling the kingdom. So at that time, and then Brahmaji is warning Swayambhu, the Priyavrata Maharaj. So you may think, like, why is the Lord telling me to become the king? what kind of order it is. So Brahmaji is telling that, please do not find fault with the Lord. Why is he actually wanting you to become the king? And because you may be thinking that, why is the Lord actually wanting me to get entangled in this kingly affairs and to become a householder and to become involved in all these responsibilities. So you may hate the Lord. Please do not hate the Lord. You cannot actually estimate the plan of the Lord. Aprameyam, that means you cannot estimate the plan of the Lord. You are thinking that you just want to be in the forest and you want to peacefully perform your bhakti, and by that you think that you can go back to Godhead. But actually you can never estimate the Lord. The Lord may quickly deliver a person whom he engages in actions in this world. And the Lord may not quickly deliver another person who may be living in the forest as a renounced person. So you cannot estimate how the Lord is going to show the mercy. Like somebody may ask a question, maybe hundreds of times, will I be able to go back to Godhead now? But it may be possible Lord may take him back to Godhead after 100 lifetimes. But somebody, he may not have asked that, but he may be, with his best of sincerity, he may try to discharge his devotional service and also be responsible. And the Lord may take him back to Godhead also. So he says that you cannot estimate the plan of the Lord. So therefore, you just abide by the plan of the Lord. So therefore, Prevrat Maharaj's life, what we actually learn is that Prevrat Maharaj renounced renunciation when he saw that it is unfavorable for serving the Lord. Because we ultimately draw the principle of Anukulyasya Sankalpa, Pratikulyasya Varjanam, which are the first two steps of Sharanagati. Accept whatever is favorable and reject whatever is unfavorable. Then Prevrat Maharaj saw that this is actually becoming the king is favorable for serving the Lord. He rejected the renunciation, he renounced renunciation, and he accepted that position for actually serving the Lord. In fact, in that episode of Prevrat Maharaj, we find that how the principle of renunciation was followed by three people in three different ways. So Prevrat Maharaj, he exhibited his renunciation by accepting the position of the king when he understood that it is the desire of the Lord. And Swayambhu Manu, he showed his renunciation by actually renouncing the kingdom, by retiring. And Narada Muni, he exhibited his renunciation by not having resentment towards Swayambhu Manu or Brahma, that why is he actually taking one of the senior member from my ashram, why are they making me as the king, why are they making him as the king. So Narada Muni also, when he understood it, this is the plan of the Lord, like he happily gave the sanction, he didn't have any resentment towards the Swayambhu Manu or Brahma. So in this way, these are some examples. The example of Arjuna, Yudhishthira Maharaj, Mahaprabhu speaking to Kurma Brahmana, Brahmaji and Prevrata. These are some examples where people wanted to retire and renounce, but that was discouraged, and they were told to actually continue to perform their services in the responsibly, and then, so these are some examples. Now let us see other examples where the renunciation was emphasized. So like one thing, before you go into these examples, like scriptures actually talk about different principles, but when those principles are connected with dharma, then those principles will give auspicious results. Although renunciation or detachment may be a good principle, but if that principle is not connected with dharma, then it will give inauspicious results. And that is what we find in the fourth canto, first chapter. There is a description of the genealogical daughters of Daksha Prajapati. So Daksha Prajapati had different daughters, and those daughters, some of the daughters he gave in marriage to Dharma. I think 13 daughters he gave in marriage to Dharma. 13 or some number. And each of those daughters, they represent certain qualities. So when they were married to Dharma, and they gave birth to different sons. Like for example, forgiveness. Or Ahimsa. Like that, different daughters' names were there. But when they were married to Dharma, then they gave birth to sons who were actually auspicious. That means, each of those qualities, the qualities when they are disconnected from Dharma, they can actually produce inauspicious results. So similarly, the detachment also, when it is connected with Dharma, that means when it is exhibited at the right time, when it is connected with Dharma, it will produce good for the broader society, then it will produce auspicious result. When it is disconnected, it will produce actually some inauspicious result. So that is what we find in this example. So some of the examples where the renunciation was emphasized was that Vidur speaking to Dhritarashtra, which I already mentioned, where Vidur told that Daiva is more important than Purusharatha for you. And another example is Narada Muni speaking to Prachina Barishat. Narada Muni was speaking the allegorical story of Puranjan, and at a particular point in the story, after describing the story and after explaining the meaning of that story, Prachina Barishat becomes convinced about he should actually take to Krishna consciousness and he should practice spiritual life. But Prachina Barishat felt that maybe I will wait for my sons to return from the forest. The Prachaitas, his sons, they had gone to perform austerities, and he wanted to wait till they come back. But Narada Muni, he could understand one of the psychology of a conditioned soul is that he tends to postpone things. Ayukta prakrita stabda shato naishkritiko lasaha vishadi dirga sutricha karta tamasa uchyate. So generally, the worker in the mode of ignorance, he tends to procrastinate. And especially, when it comes to spiritual life, people tend to postpone it. So Narada Muni could understand that, like, he may get tricked by the mind and he may wait for the sons to return and then he may never retire only. So therefore, he speaks a second allegorical story, and by that he is actually creating the urgency in the mind of Prachina Barishat to retire. Because he says that, my dear king, please understand that there is a deer who is engaged in eating the grass in a very nice flower garden along with his wife. And the deer is completely unaware that on one side there is a tiger which is trying to catch him, and on another side there is a hunter which is actually trying to attack him. But the deer is absorbed in some sweet music and completely oblivious to the surroundings. So Narada Muni speaks this allegorical story to create that urgency for Prachina Barishat to retire, even though his sons had not returned. So that's what Prabhupada wrote in that purport, that one should retire at the right time, or when one's Krishna consciousness perfectly developed, even though one's duties may be unfulfilled. So and then another example we find is that Narada Muni speaking to Hariyashvas and Savalashvas, where again there is an emphasis on detachment. Now here the situation is that Narada Muni saw that Hariyashvas and Savalashvas, he saw that they were already so pure, and they were already in the Paramahamsa stage of life. They were already in the Paramahamsa stage of life. So therefore, Narada Muni thought that why should they unnecessarily get entangled in the householder affairs? So when he saw that they were already so pure, so therefore Narada Muni did not actually he encouraged them in such a way that they just they become sannyasis, they become renunciants, and then just focus on only Krishna consciousness. And then of course there are examples like Krishna speaking to Uddhava. Like in the case of Krishna speaking to Uddhava, Krishna at the end he directly tells Uddhava that you must go to Badrikashram, you must actually renounce everything and you must wear the tree barks, you should actually eat only the fruits and roots. And in that may you should actually think of me. He actually recommends renunciation. And also Shukdev Goswami is speaking to Parishit Maharaj. Chirani kim patina santi. He says that what is the need of a pillow? You can actually sleep with a hand. What is the need of actually plate? You can yes, eat with your hands. And there are fruits and roots available in the forest. And you can eat anything. So now Shukdev Goswami is trying to evoke that mood of detachment in Parishit Maharaj because he is just having 7 days to live. So in this way we find there are several examples where untimely detachment was discouraged, and also there are examples where the detachment was emphasized. So therefore we can see the broader principle that it is not about detachment or just performing your duties. It is about is the detachment connected with dharma? Is it going to benefit the larger society and yourself? Is it according to the right time? Is it according to the sanction of the superiors? So these are the other considerations one should have while practicing that principle. And I'll see few more examples. Like for example, in the case of the retirement, the principle of retirement, one of the two obstacles, two considerations which people have, which become an obstacle for retirement is that one feels that without me this will not go on only. Another thing is that a person thinks that, suppose if I give up this particular role, then what will I do actually? Then like I will be nowhere. This is my service, and if I give up this service, then I will not be able to do anything. I will not be able to contribute anything if I give up this designation. But if we find the example of the Pandavas, it is said that te sadhu krita sarvartha gyatva atyantika matmanaha manasa dharayan asur vaikunta charanam bhujam. So Pandavas, they had performed all their duties as it should be done, and then understanding the endless nature of those duties, it means there is no end to those duties, and also understanding the infinite nature of Krishna's lotus feet. So there is no end to the duties of this world. It can go on forever. Just like in the story of Kailash, he was like, every time he was giving some reason to Narada Muni. But there is no end to that. But one may realize the endless nature of those duties, but even if he gives up those duties, but he may not know what to do actually. So therefore, what the Pandavas, they also understood the infinite nature of Krishna's lotus feet. Because sometimes a person may think, if I give up this designation, then what service can I do? I don't have any service to do. One may think like that. But actually, although it seems like a valid reason, but if we go deep into that reason, we can understand that actually he is lacking faith in how Krishna's devotional service is independent of any designation, independent of any circumstance. So understanding the infinite nature of Krishna's lotus feet means Krishna is unlimited and service to Krishna is unlimited, and service to Krishna in any situation, whether I have this designation or whether I don't have the designation, still there will be opportunity, because service to Krishna, devotional service, is not limited by any circumstance. So therefore, when a person takes up a particular role or designation to render some particular service, one should also cultivate that faith that service to Krishna is not dependent on this designation. If we fail to cultivate that faith, then we may become attached to the designation, and when there is a fear that the designation may be taken away, one becomes very much insecure. So Pandavas, they understood the infinite nature of Krishna's lotus feet and endless nature of those duties, and then they actually decided to retire. And we have examples like Uttanupad. Like Uttanupad, Prabhupada says that Uttanupad, he made Dhruva Maharaj as the king, but he did not wait for Dhruva Maharaj to get married. Actually, it is a very important principle for the for the grahasthas to arrange for the marriages of the sons and daughters, especially the daughter. But in the case of Uttanupad, he did not wait to arrange for the marriage of Dhruva Maharaj, and after enthroning him as the king, he actually retired. So Prabhupada says there, that purport, that although he was very busy in political affairs and duties of the government management, he was very anxious for self-realization. Therefore, as soon as Dhruva Maharaj was quite worthy to take charge of the government, he took his opportunity to leave home just like his son, without fear. So therefore, these are rare instances from which we can see that the importance of spiritual realization is above all other important work. Now, Uttanupad knew very well that to get his son Dhruva Maharaj married was not so important than it should take preference to his going away to the forest of self-realization. So, these are all very profound examples. I'm just trying to repeat. It is not that I don't have the qualification to instruct anybody or something. But this is just a topic which we are discussing. I'm just trying to repeat what is there in Prabhupada's purports. And we have another example that of Kardama Muni. In the case of Uttanupad, there is also a vivid description of the opulences of Uttanupad. In fact, he had trees which were brought from the heavenly planets in his gardens. Like sometimes certain film stars, they bring some cars from maybe different other countries. So he had trees brought from the heavenly planets, and there were staircases made of emerald to the lakes which he had. There is so much of opulence, but despite having so many material opulences, he actually renounced. And another example of Kardama Muni, where Kardama Muni, he actually desired to retire despite having the spiritual opulence of having the Supreme Personality of Godhead as the son. He had Kapila Dev as the son, but he desired to retire because Prabhupada says that he wanted to follow the Lord's instruction mentioned in the Vedas. Here it is said that whatever is spoken in the Vedas and whatever is practiced in accordance with the injunctions of the Vedas is to be accepted as an authoritative in society. So therefore, Kardama Muni desired to retire, even though he had the Supreme Personality of Godhead as the son. Another example of Ambarish Maharaj. Ambarish Maharaj's example is that Ambarish Maharaj was already fully engaged in devotional service. He practiced all the 9 processes of bhakti, but still he actually, he desired to retire in order to even more fully engage in bhakti. Just like a businessman, although he may be having crores of property, but still he wants to earn more and more. He is not satisfied with the particular amount, he wants to earn more and more. Similarly, a devotee, although he is fully engaged, he wants to actually engage even more, so therefore he desired to retire. And lastly, I just want to conclude with this point, but we shouldn't actually judge a person, this person is not retired or something like that. Because, for example, we have the example of Prahlad Maharaj himself. Prahlad Maharaj, in one verse in the Bhagavatam, it is said that Prahlad Maharaj is called as Prashanta. Prahlad Maharaj, he was old, but still he was living in the palace. So Prabhupada says that A devotee is always sober. He is never disturbed by any conditions. Even if a devotee remains in grihastha life and does not renounce material possessions, he should still be understood to be prashanta because of his pure devotion to the Lord. Huh. So one should not judge by externally. And Prahlad Maharaj is a guru in all circumstances. So like that, there may be many devotees because of different circumstances. And one shouldn't judge externally. And lastly, another principle one should keep in mind in regards to retirement, this one is that, so sometimes those who are younger in age, when they read these statements in the Shastra which talk about detachment and say retirement, and they may try to force the superiors, or they may try to instruct the superiors, oh, you must retire. But that is actually exactly, that's a completely wrong thing. Because by that one is actually breaking the Vaishnava etiquette and one may go into the realm of aparad one may end up disrespecting the others. So these are some instructions which are there in the scriptures. For example, the example is Yudhishthira Maharaj himself. Although Vidura spoke to Dhritarashtra strongly about leaving home, but from the point of Yudhishthira Maharaj, he didn't actually speak strongly to Dhritarashtra, why are you living in the house, you should retire like that. In fact, when Dhritarashtra left home, Yudhishthira Maharaj actually lamented, oh, my father, my uncle, they have actually cheated me. Oh, what happened to them? And he actually sincerely lamented. He felt maybe something, I didn't treat them properly. So therefore, when the Shastras give certain principles that this is... one should understand how to apply the principle in the current time, according to the time, and how it will benefit the greater society without causing disruption. And another is, without having that adhikar or authority, one shouldn't try to instruct a person and the superior this thing. These are something which we can learn. To summarize what we discussed today, that we discussed about the principle of detachment explained in the Shastra. We discussed the example of Prithu Maharaj and we discussed some examples from the rainy season and autumn season. We discussed some examples how the untimely detachment was discouraged and how some examples where the renunciation was emphasized. And we learned some this thing from the principle, from the character of Kardama Muni, Uttanupad, Ambarish Maharaj, Prahlad Maharaj, and how Yudhishthira Maharaj's response towards Dhritarashtra leaving home. So with this I'll stop the class. Grantara Srimad Bhagavatam ki chai. There's one announcement. You can just wait for this. This is an announcement from the BTG department. On the auspicious occasion of Back to Godhead Platinum Jubilee, we are back with the BTG subscription marathon, already started from Gaur Purnima, and will be till the 18th May, Narasimha Chaturthashi. Following Srila Prabhupada's word, as he has said, that if we can make Mumbai Krishna conscious, then the whole world can become Krishna conscious. So we have started Mission Mumbai to make the world of Srila Prabhupada, to make the word of Srila Prabhupada successful. Devotees are delivering BTG in various parts of Mumbai. Even we are able to reach every town and village of India by registered post. The subscription rate for all languages, Hindi, English, Marathi, Gujarati, Telugu and Oriya is 250. Subscription rate along with the copy of the Descending Divinity is ₹300 per year. And thanking you in the service of Srila Prabhupada. For further details, please contact the BTG stall. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Gaura Bhakta Vrinda ki jai.
Hare Krishna. Today there is a Varishta Vaishnava meeting after Srimad Bhagavatam class in Bhakti Siddhanta. And also Tulsi Books presents a 2-day seminar on 5.5 steps of lasting relationships by His Grace Shivalas Prabhu. For more details, see the notice board. Hare Krishna.